Mark Firth was swept off his feet when he heard the Miro String Quartet perform at a chamber music workshop.
It's really something about the way they communicate amongst themselves and the way they communicate to an audience. So there was this strong sense that this young group had a chance to be very, very important in the musical future of chamber music.
The future of chamber music? You won't find an awful lot of optimists where that's concerned, which is one of the reasons Firth wanted to do something for the Miro Quartet. He's a philanthropist, a scientist, and an amateur chamber player with a great love of music. And when he heard them play,
a little warning signal went off. One of the things that these folks are going to have to face is their instruments aren't as good as they are. There's something about the sound which doesn't have quite enough bloom, and it's not the players.
So, stirred by his vision, he did the sort of thing philanthropists do. He called them up and said,
"Would you guys ever consider the possibility of having a contemporary quartet of instruments commissioned for you and actually switch over as a group en masse to a new set of instruments that would be made for the quartet?"
More and more these days, this is the solution to instrument problems. Instead of hunting down a centuries-old multi-million-dollar Stradivarius, and who can afford it anyway, musicians are beginning to rely on the living master instrument makers among us, who are now better trained and more accomplished than ever. The one Firth wanted for this job was the Frenchman Frank Ravatin. Ravatin was fascinated by the idea. To make a matched set of four instruments, all from the same wood, meant to be played together to take full advantage of their inherent similarities. Monsieur Ravatin went to work.
I selected the best wood I had. I didn't use the nicest looking wood I have. I think I used my nicest sounding wood.
The same choice piece of maple for the back, the ribs, and the neck of the four instruments, with various kinds of spruce for the tops. And so it happened that the four members of the Miro Quartet last summer began to play on their brand new instruments. A quartet, you could say, playing on a quartet. What could be more fitting? Of course, some of the members of the quartet had been rather attached to their old instruments, but they did present certain challenges.
We had problems with the inner voices.
Sandy Yamamoto is the second violinist in the Miro.
Just the sheer fact that we, you know, I had this old Italian instrument and John had this modern viola from New Jersey. Like, the timbres are just so different. You know, someone's instrument may be very dark. Another person's violin or viola or cello may sound very bright.
Daniel Ching, first violin.
It almost sounds like it's not that it's more covered, but it has a kind of a warmer sound, whereas a bright instrument has more strident and, not screamy, but
it's
strident.
It's the difference between, like, a coloratura soprano.
John Largesse is the violist in the quartet.
And a mezzo, you know, a big English mezzo with this matronly warm,
we kind of like the mezzo sound, I think, as a quartet.
Switching over to a whole new set of instruments created a whole new set of problems. Mark Firth, the benefactor scientist, framed it as an experiment.
The experiment was, you know, let's get the instruments made and give you folks in the quartet long enough to determine whether, in fact, this is going to be a good solution to your problem.
This far into it, when asked to display and demonstrate their new quartet of instruments, the Miro Quartet does so with pride.
There's a kind of famous passage from the slow movement of Schubert's Death and the Maiden.
Joshua Gendel, the cellist.
And I always used to struggle with having it project over top of the other instruments. They're also playing quite loud.
John, the violist, asked that special attention be paid to the C string.
If the C string doesn't have something really special, then the viola isn't really that special.
Famous viola solo.
As the second violinist, Sandy holds the group together in a way.
This instrument speaks quicker than my other violin. The instrument is very balanced and it's very clear.
Thank you.
Daniel, the first violinist, has to stand out from the crowd, but warmly.
But just to show you a little bit of the kind of warm and fuzzy color of this new instrument on the A string.
It's remarkable, actually, how the four instruments make similar blends, similar glow, a similar type of timbre.
I don't actually know of any example of a top-level string quartet playing four matched instruments that were made with that intent.
Any instrument you play, no matter whether it's the best Stradivarius or Guarneri in the world or a modern instrument, every person who plays an instrument makes it sound like them. And we do it by coaxing the special sounds that I personally like, or that Daniel personally likes, or that Josh personally likes.
Frank Ravitan, the master instrument maker, agrees.
I'm a violin maker, so I make instruments the best I can. But it's a musician who makes the voice of the violin. A good instrument is good when it's very well played. Otherwise, it's not a good instrument.
New Yorkers will get their first taste of the Miro Quartet playing its new quartet of Ravitan instruments the week after next.
Time will tell whether the quartet really decides this is the way they want to go for the long term.
In the short term, certainly, a beautiful thing to hear. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.